The scripture this morning comes to us from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Ithuria and Trachonius, and Lysias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Be seated. One of the things that I was taught early on in my formal education as a pastor and preacher was that we should not try to harmonize Scripture. In other words, when there is a story told in more than one place in the Bible, we should resist the temptation to smash them all together to make them make perfect sense with each other. But what we should do is lay them next to each other and observe the different ways that the different authors tell the same story. Because in that, we can probably glean a little bit about what the message is that one author is trying to emphasize over another. Now, we find this a lot in the Gospels, where we will find stories told in two or three and sometimes four different places. Today's scripture is one of those that has a parallel in every one of the four Gospels. This passage about John the Baptist, this prophet crying out in the wilderness, this man who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. Some Gospels have a little more detail. You might miss that from this morning's telling in Luke. Some of those details about how John ate and how John dressed, they're not here. And some Gospels place this story in a little different place in the way they go about telling the story of Jesus. One Gospel starts off with this passage, skipping right through all of the wonderful birth stories that we get in the Gospel of Luke. But one thing that every one of these stories of John has in common is that every one of them associate John with this passage of Scripture from Isaiah. All four Gospels pull in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God." Only Luke brings in the next two verses from Isaiah. "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Luke By including these extra verses, he reaches deeper into the prophecy to show how this word that John was speaking, how this glory of God that was coming in Jesus was for all people. And that was an important message that Luke wanted to be sure that his readers and hearers got. The good news that Jesus had was for everyone, all people, especially the outcast, the oppressed, the disadvantaged. Those who might be more likely to hear the good news in the wilderness of Judea from an unusual prophet like John, more so than they might from those uppity-up religious leaders that you would find in those big cities. But it occurred to me that this week, as I studied this passage, that extended scripture that Luke includes from Isaiah might have more to say than just that word about who Jesus is coming to bring the good news to, but it also might have something to say about how it is that we are to be prepared for this good news. Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery groups like it have at their core a group of principles called the 12 steps. They encourage members to use these steps in order to, as AA describes it, expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. Now, many of you are probably at least familiar with the existence of these steps, even if you're not aware of all of the details of them. The first step in particular is one that you have probably heard before, even if you haven't heard any of the others. The first step says, we admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. Starting on the road to recovery has to begin there. Admitting that there is, in fact, a problem. And following step one are steps that include acknowledging that only a higher power can restore sanity, making a decision to then turn life over to that power, making a fearless moral inventory of all of our shortcomings, and then admitting them to God and to ourselves, and scarily enough, to another person. And then at step six, it asks those to say, I am entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character, and then move into step seven and ask Him to remove them. It's heavy stuff, and I haven't even gotten to that step where you make a list of everyone that you've wronged, or that step where you make amends, at least in those places where it won't do more damage. But listen again to step six. We were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. All. Every one, not just the ones that brought us to the place where we were ready to do step one. I want to share with you here that we know these steps from programs like AA and other recovery groups that we may think we don't need. But I want you to know that in the Christian community, there is a version of this called Celebrate Recovery, which This is what really opened my eyes to how necessary these sorts of steps are in our journey. Celebrate Recovery says it is for all people who are trying to recover from their hurts, their habits, and their hang-ups. I think we all, every living, breathing human being, have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So this step six, where we say, all of our defects of character, we want to give them all up. Every part of us that is not something that God wants to be a part of us, all of it, even the stuff we're not ready to get rid of. You see, many people might enter into a 12-step program ready to give up that one particularly draining, obvious problem. But they may not be able or ready to give up some other things. Some things they don't see as a problem, or some things they just really want to hang on to. For instance, someone may be ready to give up that addiction to alcohol, but they may not be ready to give up a self-righteous attitude. Someone may be ready to stop using drugs, but they may not be ready to stop lying and deceiving. But the secret to sanity, the secret to wholeness, is to give God your whole self, not just the parts you're tired of, not just the parts you are ready to admit you need help with. And in this scripture from Isaiah that Luke uses to describe John and his ministry, we see every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Every impediment to the message and the glory and the salvation that is coming is to be evened out, smoothed over, gotten rid of. Now, these visuals in this passage from Isaiah are of a highway project, but we know this is a heart project. Every part of us has to be made ready to hear what Jesus has to say to us, to submit to it, even the stuff we don't want to submit. Because it is only then that we find that eternal life is ours, and not just a quantity of life, but a quality of life. The Greek word that is translated every in this passage, every valley, every mountain, it's the same word that is translated all in this passage, all people. That's a key word. That's a key word, brothers and sisters, because it is in the all people that we find ourselves, beneficiaries of God's tremendous grace to any and all who would believe in Him. And it is in giving every part of us that we find this salvation, this life, this blessing, this share of His glory. May we this Advent season open ourselves up in a new way, admitting that we are powerless, confessing that He is all-powerful, and giving all of ourselves into His hands, that we may be prepared to go out into the world proclaiming His greatness and His love to all who we meet. May God bless us every day. 1. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming to all people. All people. Help prepare us, Lord, to go out into your world and spread this news with everyone. And Lord, help us to examine ourselves during this time of Advent and all year. Search us and help us to see those places that need to be evened out, smoothed over, done away with. And help us, Lord, to submit them to you. For it is in you that we find our salvation. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.